Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio presentation of the month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandian Associates' vision of teaching small businesses how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company.
Martin Luther King had a dream for his people. Well, I have a dream too. And my people are all the tradespeople in America. Plumbers, electricians, heating and cooling techs. My dream is that they all be respected and richly rewarded for the impeccable service they provide to keep America's machinery and systems functioning. So what do I think is missing from achieving that dream? I think that the leaders of the trades, the members of the professional organizations, need to individually transform how they relate to their customers. Because I can assure you that in big box stores, the public is receiving bad advice, poor service, crummy parts, and untrained, sloppy installations, and they're getting it late. What we need to do is set ourselves apart from all of that. The professional trades need to provide 100% customer satisfaction. I'm proud that I have committed to that. I made my 100% promise, and it changed my life. And ever since January 15th, 1995, that has been my identity. In this tape, I'll tell you how I made the promise, how I deliver on it every day, why I did it, and how you can do it, and share some key strategies that will save you thousands upon thousands of dollars. All I ask is that you share it. Team up with at least two other contractors, perhaps one at home and one across the country, and take the plunge. Because I can promise you this, something extraordinary opens up. This one promise would transform our industry. It will change how you listen and respond to your customers, your coworkers, even your teenagers. It will kill off the cynicism that is ruining your days and interrupting your good night's sleep. And it will make you very, very satisfied and rich. And it's tax deductible. You even have a choice. Make the commitment to 100% customer satisfaction for altruistic reasons or financial ones. Bottom line, you're cheating your business if you don't do it. So there I was, January 1995, owner of Roger the Plumber in a suburb of Kansas City, with six trucks and the highest prices in town. My internal hourly rate was $179.14. 2.5 months earlier, I had finally implemented flat rate pricing, and to my surprise, my complaint calls had gone down, not up. Reason being, when we were on the clock, our customers hovered over our techs like vultures wearing Timex watches. You took a phone call. Deduct 5 minutes for that. I gave you a Coke and you drank it. Knock off some time. I'm not paying you to answer my questions. Lower the bill. And you went to get parts. Stop the clock. I know I agreed to so much an hour, but it's taking too long. So when my customers called me, there was a fight. And you know what that does. It cost you customers. But I still didn't know how many secretly unhappy customers I had, or what that might be costing me. Just how much is a customer worth? Or just how much damage can one mouthy, dissatisfied customer do to your business at the Bridge Club, the Homes Association barbecue, or a holiday party? Well, you know, at a party, when people quit talking about the weather and sports, then the talk turns to plumbers or service techs of any kind. Because it's safer than discussing politics and religion, everyone has a good story of who ripped someone off. So there I was, talking to a competitor who had just hung up on a disgruntled customer who had threatened to go to the Attorney General, Action 4 News, the Better Business Bureau, and the Kansas City Star. And my friend said, "That does it. It's just not worth it. I'm going to give the guy some money back so he won't badmouth me." Just then, harps and violins began to play in my head. The earth moved. And faster than you can spot a shape in the clouds when you look up on a warm summer's day, I caught the big idea. Well, if he can do it, so can I. Only I'm going to do it better. not like resentment, not out of fear, and not just defensively. I promised myself I'm going to commit to 100% customer satisfaction like a giant possibility, like the impossible dream, like the hallmark of my business model. After all, I am from Kansas City, the home of Hallmark cards, and I am going to build it into my budget and into my advertising and into my training, and then I'm going to have some fun and make a game out of it. I'm going to measure myself as a successful manager, so every year, if I don't have to spend everything budgeted in the satisfaction fund, then that becomes a bonus. I decided, just like that, boom, this isn't like flat rate. You don't have to plan for months to implement it. Just create a budget and do it today, because someday is not a day of the week. So how much should you put into your budget for the satisfaction fund? Use 2.5% of your anticipated sales. There's always something. The tech tracked in mud? Hire a carpet cleaner. The truck slipped off the driveway, especially those dual wheels on the big trucks. Hire a lawn service. The tech showed up late. Send the customer to a nice dinner on you. The giant department stores have budgeted for this occurrence for years. They call it shrinkage or inventory shortage. It's just the cost of doing business. Overhead. Only most of us have just eaten it and not budgeted for it. So my first year I estimated $30,000. Since I had gone from hourly to flat rate, my internal hourly price was already $179.14. So it took it to $183.67 and I built it into my flat rate because it is a legitimate, predictable expense. I just didn't know when or where it would hit, so we amortized it. Now remember, your internal rate is always unknown to the customer, even when you must share a breakdown of expenses. The quarrelsome customer will try to get you to play his game, debating how much you charge per hour, and whether or not you, a tradesperson, are worth that. But you don't charge by the hour, you charge by the job. And the satisfaction fund is part of your overhead. That first year, out of $2.4 million in sales, we gave back just $9,000. That included repairing two sprinkler systems, 15 carpet shampoos, a ceiling repair, some new grass, and oh yes, the infamous $900 to repair a basketball goal that the customer claimed we had hit, though my tech strongly denied it. Do you know what? 6 months later, we were called back to that house, and the owner said he had just learned that it wasn't our truck, it was the carpet installer who did it, and a second carpet installer had ratted out the first one. The owner said, "Here's your $900 back, Roger. Even if I don't collect completely from them, I can't keep your money. What knocks me out is that you paid even though you didn't think your guy had done the damage. You showed enormous integrity, and you'll always be our plumber." That's the day I'll always remember when the karma came around. It proved to me that I can afford to keep my customers happy because I've charged the right price. And what do I do with all the money that I end up with if I don't spend everything in the satisfaction fund? I don't give it back directly to the techs because then I'm not measuring my effectiveness as a manager. It goes back to the bottom line. In the last 10 years, we put $650,000 into profit sharing. Talk about setting yourself apart from the competition. And I use this fund to monitor and measure each tech as well. Say I've got a tech who's billed out $400,000 of work, but the givebacks have been $3,000. I look to see if maybe he's not explaining the jobs well before the customer signs the written agreement to proceed. Or maybe he's not putting enough detail into the written proposal because that's what family members often scrutinize and criticize later. So now I know how to coach for that. My fear, and probably that of everyone listening today, is that someone is not happy and I don't know it. So in the past 9 years, now my entire network of friends and coworkers are trained to listen, especially at those cocktail parties or in hardware stores, and if they ever hear of a dissatisfied customer, they are to interrupt and get their name and say, Roger has 50,000 customers, and he doesn't knowingly have even one dissatisfied one. So may I please have your number so he can call you and rectify this tomorrow? The truth is, in my trade, anybody can put on booties, roll out the red carpet, do a fine job, and honor the written contract. But it will only get you 97 or maybe 99% customer satisfaction. The prize is in the last 1%. Here are a few tips. Always talk on the phone. Emails are weapons of miscommunication, and the longer the email, the more upset people get. Always talk directly to the person who is upset as well as the person who ordered the work, if they're different, and note both names in your computer. Always call people back immediately. Never interrupt them. Venting is a necessary part of the process. They're so afraid that they won't get to vent that they can't hear you until they're done. But the first time it's your turn to share, start with, "I do not knowingly have one dissatisfied customer, so before we complete this call, I can promise you, you will be happy, and you will agree to use me again." At that point, they often say, "I don't think you're going to make me happy." That's when I say, "Well, let me tell you, since 1995, I've never hung up from anyone with a concern or a complaint without them telling me that they were happy and would use me again. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make you happy." Make them tell you what they want in order to be happy and agree to use you again. You may be surprised at how little it is. Sometimes it's like 10 bucks. But complete the transaction that day. Never agree to a credit on the next job, because then you're back in the old upset a second time, and in fact, negotiating on two jobs instead of just one. So send them a check. That way, it's out of your fund, and it's out of their mind. Now, when they get to the point of being able to state what they want, and I've sent people to dinner at fancy restaurants, I've agreed to cover something out of warranty, or only charge for one of two faucet installs, or repaired a ceiling that was their responsibility, paid a vet bill, found a carpet repairman, all manner of different things. When they are complete, and with your coaching, they say out loud, "Yes, I will use you again," that's when you sweeten the pie. Say, "You know, I don't know how to send out an $85,000 truck with highly trained technician for free, but for you, I want to make an exception. I'm going to give you a free look. The next time you need anything, you call me first, and we'll come out for a free look, a complete diagnosis of the problem, because I want you to know with certainty what you're facing." There are all kinds of people who will quote a price over the phone sight unseen, and they are usually wrong. When we come, you are absolutely free to say, "Thanks for the free look. Now go away." Then call someone else. But at least you'll know from the best in the business what you're up against. Last year, we performed 13,000 jobs. And overall, my business had 8% turndowns of the initial bids we gave. But then 2.5% got second bids and called us back to do the work. So we're landing 94.5% of the business. And many of those who call us back are the free lookers. They are naturally skeptical people. The world needs those people. Maybe more of them should run for office. Oh, don't get me started. They're obsessed with finding a cheaper solution, which often is out there, but it's not reliable. So finally, when they've educated themselves to the facts, they're enrolled that we know what we're doing, and we will do it the same day, and that has value to them. Let's review some of the typical categories of upset customers you face. 1. The tenant orders the work, then the landlord refuses to reimburse. Now, if we know it's a rental property, and we note that on our computer systems too, we insist on having a communication with the landlord first. And if it's an emergency, we now ask, "How are you going to feel If and when your landlord refuses to pay and says, "I could have gotten it done cheaper. I think you paid too much." We make the tenant commit because the signer on our contract is responsible. We ask them to see the value in getting great work done now, not a week later when the landlord's handyman wanders over to poke around. 2. A building or restaurant manager is in a jam and needs immediate service. A fine restaurant called us at 11:30 a.m., water streaming across the dining room floor. We arrived in 10 minutes, cleared the drain, cleaned up, and were out by 12:20 p.m. But, aha, at 1 p.m., the owner calls. "My God, you charged twice what I normally pay and took advantage of us." He's really mad at himself for his lack of maintenance, but he's yelling at us. There's a lot of that in our business. Now, I just charge for listening to it. We then document that we charge everyone the same price. We tell them exactly how many hundreds of times we have charged that exact price to others before him, and that our service is when people need it. I then remind the owner that I am a customer of his restaurant, and I say, "Yes, we're expensive. Isn't it shocking what it costs to run a business nowadays? You should probably continue to use your other guy for maintenance, but you can count on us for emergencies." Result? He's a satisfied customer, and Diane and I, we just love to dine there. 3. The wife orders the work, husband arrives home from work and explodes. Or worse yet, Mr. Mom orders the work, and Sigourney Weaver, this Amazon working wife, comes home and explodes. Like the talented artist trying to save a few bucks, who put down his palette knife and picked up a wrench, attempting a plumbing job. What would have cost him $168 if we had done it from the get-go became a $780 job. Now, at 6 p.m., I know his wife is screaming at me because she's really mad at Van Gogh. We discuss the agreed-upon signed contract by her husband. She says the only way to make her happy will be a refund. Now I know what you're thinking. Don't even go there. During our talk, I discovered she's an accountant, which I note in our computer. So due to her business knowledge, I offered to share the breakdown of her job cost. The materials, $106, labor and fringe benefits, $120, overhead, $320, and a profit goal of 30%, which is $234. She was one of the very few who truly understood overhead. So I deliciously explained it includes insurance, advertising, and accounting. I shared we had done this exact procedure before 127 times. 132 were bid, 127 were accepted and completed, so I know my price must be right. She says, "Look, I'm the hard-assed in the family." Well, this came as no surprise. I'm the one who ends up making these kind of calls. Here's my bottom line. I want you to break even on costs, but in this case, just because, I want you to make absolutely no profit. Frankly, I was relieved. The yelling part was over. That's a cost of doing business. And we had arrived at the desired step, agreement. I told her about the free look and that we would note on her account that in the future, we would send a tech out to diagnose, that's the free look, and then call her and she could commit to future work. And I said, "Please, do not order any more work from us if you don't like the price." Well, they're happy customers. The very next trip was on a Saturday at 2 p.m. for a water heater. And we're not cheap. But when you are the only game in town on the weekend and you have an informed customer, you will get the business. 4. The most heart-wrenching cases are the elderly who are secretly dependent. You know, after the work is done, the son or daughter shows up and screams, "You ripped off my mom, and I'm reporting you." Here is the pearl of great price. It's worth the price of this CD. Ask all old people, "Do you have someone who helps you make decisions?" My techs had to learn how to do this sensitively. Taking Dale Carnegie courses help. I cover the tuition for any tech willing to take their courses. Dale Carnegie is the single best way I know to take a left brain technician and turn him into someone who can relate to people warmly. So now they ask, do you have someone who advises or helps you? One old gal said she always asked her mailman for advice. Now this can be problematic if his truck has already been down her street that day. If there's been a previous upset with a senior, we now keep notes in our computers that the kids or the neighbor wants to approve any future work. We always offer three options. Generally, repair, existing, replace, or wait and see, or other. So usually, unless you need the mailman, you can work things out that day. The fifth category in the satisfaction fund is the information hound. The customer who calls doesn't really have a complaint, but he just calls to request a price breakdown. Half of them are legit. They're having a twinge of buyer's remorse. And the breakdown answers all their questions. I love these people. The other half are the grinders. This is when it's critical to have a real business pricing system. You explain the three fixed items: materials, direct labor and fringe benefits, and overhead, including the trucks, gas, insurance, office staff, warehouse, accounting, advertising, real dispatchers and not machines, etc. It's all covered on my other tape. Most people kind of get that. Some will say, your overhead sounds way too high. Depending on their tone of voice, sometimes I say, you sound like a real smart person. I just paid $1,500 a day to a special consultant who reviewed every line item of my overhead over the last 10 years. And that expert said there's nothing I can cut. If I lower pay, I'll lose my good techs. Smaller trucks? We'll have to charge to go get parts. Machines instead of people? Bad service. Closed on Saturdays and Sundays? I'd be punishing the working families who can only get work done then. So my offer to you is come over and look at my books, and if you can find anything to cut that will make a real difference, then I'll pay you $1,500 a day. You know what? No one has ever taken me up on that. Sometimes with the hardcore price grinders who think this is a sport, I will say, I know what you're up to. You just want to negotiate now that the work you approved is done. So just tell me what you want, since that's what you have to promise to get any money back. But you will not be ordering any more work from me unless you agree in advance that you will pay the price. So the grinders only get to me once, and I get to keep my promise. And they can't go around bad-mouthing me because I give them back exactly what they want, but only if they agree to the two promises, to use me again, and to say that they are completely satisfied. Sometimes it practically kills them to say that. It breaks up their game. This is when knowing that you budgeted for satisfying this jerk and that it's tax deductible is very useful, because when you keep your promise, you win. Finally, especially during a price breakdown, a lot of people during the conversation will say, I can't believe what it cost. And I always agree with them. I'm shocked too, I say. But when I started losing all my good techs to places like General Motors, where they're installing windshields all day, I had to commit to pay a good wage. Do you remember old Joe, the guy you say you used to use for $25 an hour? He worked so cheap, he went out of business. I just bought his inventory and his old pickup. He closed his doors. And most of my competitors refuse to work on Saturdays or Sundays. Some don't offer hospitalization or overtime. And you wouldn't believe what it costs for me to do background checks and drug tests and yearly training. But I don't want to send some goon into your house. And then I explain my profit goal of 30%, and they say, gee, that sounds like a lot. I always agree with them. Did you know McDonald's makes a 25% profit and you have to go to them? Another difference is that ours is just a profit goal. We don't always make it because with flat rates, so many things can go wrong. We committed to your job and price. So many things can come into play after the work begins. Okay, now it's your turn. You know how to do it. You know the fine points. You know that the benefits to you of 100% customer satisfaction are many. Higher profits, better trained techs, satisfied customers, and elevated respect for the trades in your community. The ability to recruit people of integrity to work for you, and being able to sleep at night, not worried about being attacked, sued, or disparaged. Now all you have to do is set your budget, 2.5% of sales. And the very next time that phone call is for you, set a smile on your lips, because you are about to create the greatest thing any business owner can ever produce, another satisfied customer. I urge you to partner with someone today. Still on the fence? Just ask yourself this. How many customers have you got to lose? In 1994, when I went flat rate, I had 6 trucks. Today, I have 12. If I hadn't gone flat rate, I'm certain I'd have gone broke. But in my heart, I believe the reason I grew was because of 100% customer satisfaction. Yes, being profitable is one measure of your life, but being the only company in town under any category in the Yellow Pages that offers 100% customer satisfaction takes you to a whole new level. I want the same for you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-432-7963. The vision of Grandian Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable business. For more information on how we do that, check out our website, www.grandiassociates.com, or give us a call, 1-800-432-7963. The Small Business University Audio Presentation of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandian Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963.